It's That Other Masonic Podcast. Here's Jared Adkins and Todd Whaley.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of That Other Masonic Podcast. Brother Jared Adkins.
No, I'm Brother Todd Whaley.
We are not at home.
No,
we're in Bird's Eye in wonderful DuBois County.
We are far away.
We are an hour away.
Mysterious and dangerous.
At Newburgh, part of the Newburgh sessions, the Newburgh files, the Newburgh chronicles, whatever you want to call it.
You're a cup of something good, I know it.
I'm just fascinated with this lodge. This is the third lodge tour we've done. The first one was an accident at Honeyburgh. Yeah. Then it became a thing when we went to Vincennes, and then it's really become a thing where we have lodges all across the state and other states that want us to come record down there.
Yeah.
Newburgh reached out to us because we said, let's go on a lodge tour. It was between them and New Albany and...
Or Lexington, Kentucky.
Yeah, I'm not going to Lexington. But this lodge is like a museum of itself, some of the stuff they have here.
Good care of keeping everything that's important.
So, I hate to break the fourth wall.
No, I don't.
I love doing that because I was like, why aren't they telling us when this everybody wants to protect the fourth wall? And in TV and radio, you're taught to uphold the illusion and keep the fourth wall. Well, I'm breaking it.
Unless you're Ryan Reynolds.
We're recording this a day before Veterans Day. Tomorrow is right. Veterans Day.
Right.
Unfortunately, these episodes are coming out after Veterans Day. So we started today with a Veterans Day episode. We're having another Veterans Day episode today with another brother who's got a unique story, one we can't wait to tackle into. So I need you to shut up and quit talking. We're going to let the brother Oh, well, that's me.
Yeah.
It's my job to interrupt.
Yeah, I'm not the one that talks all the time.
Okay. So, well, if you'd be quiet. Brother, if you will please introduce yourself.
My name is Drew Seitz. I'm a member of Blessing Lodge number 464 here in Evansville, Indiana. And I've been a Mason.
We're in Newburgh, man.
That's okay. It's like that Evansville, you know? That Evansville.
Yeah, it's not even a clear line yet.
That is true. That is true.
But I've been a Mason since September of 2018.
Wow.
Or 19. Sorry.
It's about a five-year brother.
Yeah.
So, okay, well...
Oh, thanks for being on.
And by the way, before we get started, you are a veteran, correct? No longer active duty. You are a veteran.
Just a veteran, yeah.
So thank you for your service. And if you don't mind telling us, what did you do in the military? What branch were you in? What did you do?
I was in the U.S. Army for 5 years, and I was an infantryman with 2nd Infantry Division when they were out at Tacoma, Washington. Okay. So we were the 3rd Striker Brigade, which was the first Striker Brigade of the Army, and we went to Baghdad, or we went to Iraq 2006-2007 for 15 months, almost 16 months.
Ugh, man, I could imagine what you guys went through. Some
stuff. We were there in the resurgence, and that's why we got extended out, and it was rough. I mean,
so you had to tip of the spear then, basically, get in there, yeah.
Almost. I mean, we did joint operations with, you know, some special forces guys. We did some, you know, hot pickups with the Navy SEALs, but I don't know any Navy SEALs, but
they had perfect hair though.
Yeah. I was just writing a book about
it. Write a book about it.
So before we get into the episode, since we did it earlier with Brother Juan, I'd like to ask you because we've had some veterans on the show in the past, a few, but we don't really talk about vets. So if you don't mind me asking, before we get involved in your journey as a Masonry, how and why did you get involved in the military? How did that come about? Just clearly for just background information.
I'm from Mount Vernon, Indiana, and I was focused on not, you know, doing the small town thing.
Right.
Wanted to go out and see things and
see the world.
The Army recruiter showed up. I was dead set for the longest time about joining the Marine Corps, and Army recruiter got to my door first. So. conned my mom into it, conned my dad into it. I joined actually when I was 17.
Right.
And, so going into like junior high and high school, you'd already kind of made your mind up like, hey, I'm joining the military.
I was really focused on it. Yeah.
Okay.
Like I said, if I had to do over again right out of high school, I would write Navy.
I graduated high school May 25th, and I was leaving for basic on June 15th.
That's a quick turnaround there. Yeah, that's a brother that's decided, hey, this is what I'm putting my eggs in this basket.
And there's a lot of guys that do that and everything. And I appreciate every single one of them that do it. I mean, I wish I had done it, But at my age, I was 97, so really wasn't any major conflicts or anything going on. There wasn't no surge of membership. And
Bosnia was about that time, wasn't it? 97, 98, 99.
It was about like over that. By then. But I just wish I had. I think my life would be totally different now, but you never know. But
it's. I always tell people I got a lot of living out of the way first. Mm-hmm.
I'm sure you did. I'm sure you ate a lot of dirt in your time over there.
Yeah, especially as a grunt.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, my roommate, he was in the first wave going over there in the Marine Corps. My old roommate. And he was a tow truck recovery driver. He's always saying, oh, it was so rough over there. He showed me a picture of him eating Subway and Pizza Hut. And I'm like, had it rough, bub.
I mean, we were fed like kings, believe it or not. I mean, yeah. It was like steak and lobster night. There was, restaurants, Burger
King. You're kidding
me. Yeah. The chow halls, I mean, they were open 24 hours a day because we kept a really odd schedule. We worked mostly at night because you're going into people's houses.
Under the cover of darkness, you guys have some safety.
So. Yeah. But we did everything from, the stuff you see in the movies to, actual philanthropy, like hearts and minds type stuff.
Right.
I mean, there was more often than not, we actually, distributed school supplies to the kids, soccer balls. And, it was heartwarming. So
that's what people don't hear a lot of times. All they think about, we're going and kicking indoors. Yeah. Think about the good stuff we do without showing a weapon. You know what I mean?
Right. I mean, I recall a time we were actually in Baghdad and it had rained for like 3 days. And we were just going through the neighborhood. Hey, we're here. Do you guys know any bad guys? And, we noticed we were tracking mud into their houses. So we called it off. We were just, okay, we're not going to, disrespect these people's, hard earned. But we called it off. And a couple of days later, we went back to it when everything was dry because the mud over there is just, we called it moon dirt. Moon dust, because it's powdery. So fine, and it doesn't come off your boots no matter what you do.
I could imagine. I couldn't imagine, really, but yeah.
So we're going to talk quite a bit about your military service, and it's going to go hand in hand with masonry. I've got an idea in my mind based off touching base with you and with I'm going to give the executive producer for this whole Newberg sessions today to David Bricky, because they normally I have to lay off. David set all this up for us, so shout out to him.
I've got a few guests on this show too, man.
I'm just saying about today's episode.
Oh, okay, all right.
Today's recording. So touching base with you, Drew, and with David, I've got an idea. So, but we'll kind of walk backwards and then we'll walk forward. But to officially get the episode started in the ways that we normally do. So how and why did you get involved in Freemasonry? How did that come about?
My neighbor is a longtime Freemason Shriner. And I was just, at a barbecue one night, and we were sitting around talking, and I, hey, what's it take to become a Mason?
The infamous question. This was after you had got your honorable discharge? This was after? Okay.
Yeah. I joined 2018, so I was 32. I had been out since 2009, so it was quite a bit after my military service, and it's just kind of one of those things that, like, you're trying to fill a void,
right?
And you don't understand, like, you don't understand what you're looking for. And one of the guys that was there that night, his name was James. He was also in Lessing Lodge, and he was former Army infantry. And he's like, "You missed the Brotherhood. I got Freemasonry will bring that back." And
because we were talking to Brother Juan earlier today after we stopped rolling tape, and he said the one thing that people they never understand, he goes, so many Masons that are in the military become Masons after they get out of the military, because it's a brotherhood in the military,
right?
And you still have that, but you're not active duty anymore, so you're kind of, you find ways to supplement that, and then here's this glowing beacon that is Freemasonry. Mm-hmm. I mean, he didn't say it like that. We're paraphrasing, but basically.
You also look at it the way, like, guys will join a biker gang or stuff like that, because they want that brotherhood, that fellowship.
The camaraderie.
That's like, most guys say what they miss the most from, playing sports, military, whatever. They miss their friends. They miss hanging out and just, cutting up, stuff like that. And I think that's what one avenue is, to go to Freemasonry. Other avenues are you know, bike clubs or go to bars, whatever. I mean, whatever gives you that sense
fraternal
of belonging.
Organization.
Right. Exactly.
I tried to find belonging and, different. I joined the Legion and stopped going that. Joined the VFW and just ended up not going through with that. And then found Freemason or the Eagles. I mean, I've joined quite a few.
Oh, the Eagles, yeah.
And then just, Dimitri.
Eagles is a great organization, too.
It is.
Yeah.
We got one in Huntingburg. Mm-hmm. Yep.
I was joined in Mount Vernon, and we had some disagreements about things.
Mm. That happens a lot.
Logistic-wise, and I guess the Grand Airy, me and him had some disagreements, and I was very outspoken about it.
Right.
Because it was pretty much a safety issue with children. Mm. And these fraternal organizations have a bar inside and, sitting there watching parents sit at a bar with their kids.
Mm-hmm.
And I was raising my concerns and making it be known. So.
That's understandable.
I want to do something that we have never done in show history before.
Speak regular?
Yes. Okay. So I want to do something that I have never done in show history before. So at the end of this all, it's all about service and right. It's about community and it's about family.
Yeah.
For the first time in show history, yep. And we can get away with this because the rule of thumb is anything that's in the black book is fair game to talk about.
Right.
Well, as you can hear the microphone scooting across the table, we actually have a fourth guest on this show tonight.
Yep.
This is Brother Seitz's just adorable little daughter. Sweetie, would you say your name for everybody? How old are you?
I'm 7. I'm Hazel, and I'm 7 years old.
Nice.
It just look. You
my
talk
son's
about
seven.
You talk about my youngest one's 6. You talk about family, and that this is we're not giving away anything we shouldn't be. So she can sit here with us. And I asked her. I was my idea. I said, "Do you want to come sit in with us while we talk to Dad?" And he's talking about family and the safety of children. And you look over, and I unmuted her mic. And as soon as I did that, his eyes lit up because baby girl was going to be talking. How cool is that?
Oh, yeah. My daughter, she comes lodge me quite a bit for, breakfasts and meals, stuff like that. And
yeah.
I love having her around. Some of the other guys don't like it. She bugs me.
Welcome to the show. Can I have a high five? Thank you for letting us talk to Dad today. And we'll just sit here with you, and you can just chime in every so often if you want to. I am going to mute your mic off and on a little bit, though, because of the way the cords move, it does. Yeah, it does that a lot. So, but I'm glad you're here, and I thank you for letting us talk to Dad today.
You're welcome.
Look at her. She's so adorable. I love this. We've never done this. My show, your show, our show. And I said we're going to put the kid on the show. So, okay.
Let's do it.
So getting back to this now. So... Okay, so what's the next question we usually ask?
Once you got involved in ministry, why kept you coming back to your next state of meeting?
Because a lot of guys get the title
and
they never come back. They're like, "Hey, I'm a Mason now. That's happy. Bury me with the apron when I pass away. I don't care. I'm not coming back."
I really couldn't. I can't answer that. I don't. I just it got me out of the house.
Mm-hmm. Something to do.
The belonging. And, it was, not trying to get away from my wife, but it's, Wednesday nights is...
It's something to do. It's something to do. Just a couple hours of you time, even though you're with brothers, it's just a little bit of separation from the home life is okay once in a while.
Right. Yeah. And I do like the history. I mean, the history, the knowledge that I've, gathered throughout my Masonic journey. Just kind of... accidentally got thrown into the chaplain's chair halfway through a year, and then
that is actually my favorite chair. You know why?
Chaplains?
Because to me, in a way, they kind of hold a lot together because they do the blessings at each degree and at the meals. But really, other than that, they don't have to do a lot. So that's the perfect thing for if you're a fat boy like me that just wants to sit in your chair and not move. That's the that's the perfect
not really
position.
That's, you're actually supposed to call on the sick and. You're supposed to go out and see the brothers who can't make it to lodge. You're supposed to...
Okay.
You
know. And I respect that, but I want both of you to tell me. There's a lot... There's 50 states in this country. We're just going to talk about the United States. There's 50 states in this country. A lot of Masonic jurisdiction in those 50 states. How many of them brothers do you think are actually doing that as the chaplain? Just saying.
Oh, I'm not saying that, but I'm just saying... it's not just blessing and saying a prayer.
Right. So, but how many people do you think is actually going out doing that?
1 out of 10, probably.
Probably. That's what I would say. Probably 1 out of every 10.
Which we're bad at that. But anyways. But just, you know, like you say, you know, it, you get out Wednesday night, go to your state of meeting or to a degree work. I mean, it's you're not doing anything wrong. You're out there proving yourself. You're helping the brotherhood. You're having a little bit of fellowship. And I've always said that's good for, you know. Now, what I did when I first joined, I was young, single and everything. I was gone 5-6 days a week doing masonry.
Again.
Because up north, I could do that.
And in the Indianapolis area, within an hour of, you can see something every night of the week.
And then once my now wife moved in with me, that stuff stopped. You're not leaving me alone every night.
That's when she got to start coming hanging out with you in the grotto, and then it was okay.
Yeah, she was fine with that. But for right now, while you're chaplain at Lesson Lodge?
So, no, I'm actually the sitting junior warden.
Okay. Hey, so am I. All right.
I was, like I said, halfway through the year, the worshipful master at the time was just like, hey, brother, can you sit in the chair tonight? Because, you know, our chaplain's missing.
Right.
He had some other stuff that was going on. And I was like, yeah, sure. He's like, don't worry, you can read everything out of the book. I mean, right. You don't have to, it's not memory work. And I was like, okay.
Back off of me when I read things out of the book. It's not memory work. And you are my sitting junior warden. You will obey.
You will not read out of the East. I'll tell you that right now.
Just joking. Continue.
And then I was, you know, just kind of hanging out in the lodge. And the next week, it's like, hey, you did a pretty good job. Can you do the degree? I think it was actually a fellowcraft. And did the prayer during the circumambulation.
Right.
And I just got a lot of praise for because I had the like really good timing. I guess it's probably from the military and having that rhythm. So
yeah,
I did that, and then I just then elections came up, and then you know, worship master called me and he's like, "Hey, you want to be my my junior deacon this coming year?" And I said, "Yeah, that's no big deal." And then did the junior deacon spot, and I noticed that I have really bad anxiety, and I noticed it was helping me actually work through it. You know, just like the little bitty junior deacon parts.
Right.
And it just, and I would like, I still to this day, and I've only sat in 3 chairs. We had a logistical issue, malfunction in the lodge where I got to skip the senior deacon's chair. So I was prepping for that. Now I'm in the junior warden's chair.
Oh, that's a great chair. The senior deacon's chair, the great chair to learn from.
And I was—I remember being so so nervous, so anxious about it. I'm like, I don't know if I can, I don't know if I can remember all that stuff. I don't. Oh God, you know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
And you know, through, I just keep reading the, you know, the book.
Keep learning it. Keep get it perfect. And
Drew, I wanna ask you about that since you brought it up, and I was told that, you know, anxiety is something that's. That's, you know, you're a veteran and we thank you for your service, and you know, anxiety is something that you really dealt with, and I heard, you know, masonry's helped you, and I wondered if you could speak on that a little bit. Like, how has this helped you combat that? Because anxiety is real, man. It is a real thing. Mental health is a real thing. I used to without dragging down the episode, but I mentioned it on the show a time or two before. I thought mental health was a cop out, and February 4th of 2019, I had a breakdown. I grabbed the Stevens 22 because it was all I could find, and it was, you know, God willing, I'm still here today. But before that, I used to think mental health was a cop out. Now I realize how serious it is, and you know. Let's talk about that a little, if you want to, if you're comfortable. How has this helped you with anxiety?
So I guess I'll take it to, you know, being in the Army and in the job that I was doing, we were hardwired, you know, we were reprogrammed.
Right.
And, you know, so everybody is trying to kill you.
Right.
So that's, you know, that followed me a little bit. Maybe everybody's not trying to kill me. And then being in a room full of guys that have the same outlook on life.
Right.
And they're not out to get you has just helped me as a whole because I'm not used to speaking in front of people. Mm-hmm. So it's just it's just hammered the idea of, you know, not everybody's going to hurt you. Not everybody's trying to, you know, use you for something.
Right.
We all have the same goal. And, like, I've never met you guys before, and I'm just as comfortable as, you know, being in my living room. So.
Right.
Well, it's like whenever I started going through the chairs, I started doing my learn my work lecture and everything. In high school, I could not speak in front of people. I just couldn't do it. I'd say just smart little, you know, short little speeches if I had to. And that was it. I was terrified because I was afraid of everybody. I was going to say something dumb.
Yeah.
They're going to make fun of you. Well, I was giving them.
I'd make fun of you anyway.
I know. But yeah, I was doing a work lecture one night, and I was really struggling at doing it. And one guy goes, what's going on? I said, I don't know. I just feel like everybody's, you know, looking at me and waiting for me to mess up. He goes, this isn't high school, man. Everybody here wants you to do good. Mm-hmm. And that turned a switch on me. I'm like, holy crap, you're right. Nobody wants to make fun of me here. And that's what got me more where now, heck, I can speak in front of people all over the place. I mean, I proposed my wife for 300 people. So, I mean, how many people could do that? Can get away with that and talk freely?
I mean, yeah, nothing to worry about. I mean, only like 100,000 people can hear my voice every day.
Yeah, but they don't know you like I do.
They're like, that don't make you nervous? Like, not really. Why? Because I'm sitting in a little studio over a live microphone. They can't see me.
Exactly.
I mean, they can hear me, but I mean.
Yeah, it just, it gets you comfortable with, you have people who want you to do good. They want you to be, they don't want you, they expect to be perfect, but they want you to do a good job. And then if they are going to say anything to you, they're going to give you a little critique, but tell you that you did a good job. That's the good thing about masonry is we're not out there to show anyone's faults. You know, we're out there to show everybody's what everybody's good at.
Yeah, the constructive criticism is, you know, having these, you know, 30, 40, 50-year-old, 50-year members say, hey, man, you're doing great.
Oh, yeah.
But you're messing this word up. And it's like, oh, I think I was messing a word up in my opening. And he was like, it's stands, not sits. I was like, I've never even put that together. I am so sorry.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Dude, I've gotten that all the time.
I mean, some people are sticklers, and I get it. There's a way to do it. But if a guy's knocking out of the park and he's switching around one word, do you need to browbeat him?
Yeah,
or just exactly. Pull him aside and be like, hey, brother, you don't browbeat the guy.
It's about whispering good counsel.
There you go. That is the definition of whisper good counsel.
Mm-hmm.
But, so, yeah, so I've used Freemasonry in my battle of anxiety, which is, it has helped me out so much. But, and then I got involved with the Scottish Rite and the, you know, the bigger degrees,
mm-hmm.
and speaking parts. And I just try to challenge myself. I don't try to be a victim of post-traumatic stress,
right.
If that makes sense.
And, right.
I'm not doing a dog on anybody who fights that battle every day, because I do too.
Right.
But I just refuse to let it control my life.
And that's one thing I think
awesome.
Of. Around here, and when I say local, I don't mean just Vandenberg County. I mean the local area. For where we live, an hour away in DuBois County, our big local regional area is the Evansville area.
Yeah.
So in the Evansville area, there is probably, what, I would say 20 counties you could probably figure in, you know, within that hour range. You know,
yeah.
Like you're talking Vandenberg, Posey, Spencer, Warwick, DuBois, Crawford, Perry, on and on and on and on and on. There is a lot of veterans programs in those, but I still feel, and this is me speaking strictly as a civilian, and I don't know how many veterans are going to hear this. I know a lot of Masons are. I always think that in the local Evansville area that covers so many counties within an hour of Evansville, there could always be more done to help the veterans with requiring a job or getting them housing or helping with their VA. Because as a non-veteran, I hear horror stories. I mean, strict horror stories about dealing with the VA. I'm not throwing the VA under the bus. I don't have enough skin in the game to know. But I hear horror stories about what the VA does to some of these people. And there's, I just feel like there needs to be more done for veterans. That's my opinion. And I don't know how to, I don't know what I could do because A, I'm not a veteran. The only platform I have is I have this little recorder sitting right in front of me that between two podcasts that I have hits about 1,000 people a month. That's it. That's the only way. But what can I do? But there needs to be more done for veterans, when, especially the ones that suffer from PTSD, which is, as you've talked about, some people, and I'm sure that's, and unfortunately, it's a backwards way of thinking, but I'm sure there's some veterans that's drummed in their head, well, you don't talk about PTSD, you just deal with it. You don't talk about it. And I think that's a backwards way of thinking. It's the whole, the way a lot of our generation was raised with our dad. Boys don't cry, you dry them eyes up, go. You know what I mean?
You also look at the, look at the World War II guys, what they saw over there, and, both theaters of war over there. They came back, and you didn't hear about PTSD from the guys, because they just shut up.
Yeah.
They just closed off. They just did their job, came home, did their job.
And granted, though, looking what we know now in 2024 with mental health, was that a healthy way to deal with that?
Oh, God,
probably
no.
Not.
No, probably absolutely not. But to say that's how they dealt with it. Well, now, people are different now. I mean, it's a different world now. It's not – back then, they were coming out of depression. Can you imagine if you grew up poor, dirt poor, had nothing. That's what you get in the Army. You're getting showered, 3 meals a day, and a bed to yourself. This ain't a bad gig. All you got to do is go out there and fight this war, get all this. Where now we have the comfort, and then we put these guys in these situations. It's a different mentality now. I mean, it's...
And I've said that a lot. It's like, my dad was the macho.
Right.
Like, yeah.
But you don't cry.
Boys don't cry. Dry them eyes up. We've all had dads like that. All three of us did.
And then, I get out and I start my own struggles, and I'm like, man, it's okay to cry. It's okay to reach out and go, man, I need help. Like, this is not the way to live.
Oh,
like,
no.
And then, my experience with the VA, hasn't been a terrible one. So I can say that from me. Right. I know people who just hate it. Oh, I don't need to go there. I don't need to do that. And it's like, if you have a bad time, we do have some resources.
Right.
But... I forgot where I was going with that.
Well, you heard about the VA going after that one content creator, veteran was assigned. He kind of a veteran spokesperson. He held a sign up and something about, Veterans Affairs or something like that. He is a content creator thing. Well, he got with a company that's helping him, helps veterans get their VA benefits easier and do it the right way, get them quicker. Well, the VFW went after him, saying that, you're just trying to make money off this. He goes, I make no money off this. I just partner with them so these veterans know about this. But the VFW wants everybody to go through them to get the help. Well, they're probably backlogged forever. What?
Our honorary co-host, Little Miss Hazel, she's got something to add. She went her little finger like this, which I told her was the code for when she wanted something to say. Honey, what do you have to add to this? What do you want to say?
My favorite thing about the Masons, about the meals and food.
Meals
really and food. Good.
Me too.
That's you want to know a true story? You can ask your daddy. That's every Mason's favorite part of Lodge is the eating.
We all start out at 120 pounds.
I was I'm lucky to have a wife that just absolutely loves to cook.
We just did a whole episode last week.
You're so skinny.
Well, I mean, it's not last week in the timeline of when you're hearing this, but for where we're sitting while we're recording today, it was last week.
We talked about
it. We did a whole episode almost about nothing but food. Yeah. Tell me what Mason isn't fat at heart. Maybe not be fat in stature, but they're fat at heart.
We like to eat.
Where they call it the knife and fork degree.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm a past member of that degree.
I love that we're letting Maisel sit in on this. She's just great. This is the greatest episode ever.
I let my daughter in here. I know that
Hazel's a really big help. She helps, and she's if you see Drew, you see Hazel, and she's become a fixture in our lodge, and everybody, and she's got everybody fooled. She's adorable.
Now, do you guys bring your family to lodge with you?
Sometimes.
Okay.
My wife will stay, and help serve the meal. She'll help pick up, but she'll just go back home.
Yeah. See, I wish more lodges would do that, where it'd be more of a family atmosphere, where the guys go
and have family comes and has dinner with us, and then they leave, and we do the.
No, they don't leave. They stay out in the dining room for all I care.
Well, I mean, what I'm saying.
We go in and do our business and everything, come back out, then have a little family, you know, gossip, and then go home.
I know we've tried to cover it in our lodge and the Scottish Rite that, you know, it's 2024. There's a lot of men who have, you know, custody of their children.
Yeah, single fathers.
So there's times where she's came to, you know, Scottish Rite events where I'm just like, all right, you have to stay down here. But, you know, then there's, you know, another guy who brings his two kids because, you know, he's a single dad out there grinding. And he's like, I just can't, I don't have a sitter. So it is a topic of discussion.
It'd almost be worth hiring a sitter to at least someone out there to watch the kids, make sure they don't tear the place up.
We've thought about maybe using the Rainbow Girls, utilizing the Rainbow Girls.
Not a bad idea.
Which is a great organization. We can't say nothing so much. Yeah. We dedicate a little bit of our Founders Day episodes every year to Dee Malay, Job's Daughters, and Rainbow. Yep. And they are so gracious that we give them a chance to use our platform. And they're like, well, Todd and mine way of thinking is, without us giving you a chance to use this platform, without these youth organizations, what's the shape of the fraternity going to be in eventually, you know?
Mm-hmm. Right. So, like, our past master last year's, his daughter is the higher up for our Rainbow Girls in this area. So we utilize them a lot, and they are, you know, tremendous help.
Oh, I bet.
We use them during our, like, big fundraiser meals. Like, because, you know, Lessing Lodge does the rabbit fry every February, which...
What good redneck doesn't love a good rabbit?
I got to go that this year.
Yeah, I got tickets.
I'll be up on that. I love a good rabbit fry.
I do too. Yeah, and that's just that's a wonderful event. But, yeah, we are, you know, trying to figure out, you know, how to incorporate the kids. Maybe have a sitter. Maybe, you know... But
if you had the Rainbow Girls, I mean, even if you had the TV on with the PlayStations and, you know, or, I don't know, some kids bring their DS, other kids bring their DS, they all play together or do something. I mean, it couldn't be that hard to figure
30 years ago, it was bringing Game Boys. Now it's bringing DS.
I know you.
Tablets and
phones. I never had any of them, so.
All that stuff.
Yeah, but my daughter, she comes to, like, all our breakfasts and everything.
She's usually our coffee runner.
Coffee runner, and I
she tries to extort $20 out of me for every cup of coffee she brings me.
Yeah, all the girl knows is Starbucks. But yeah, I love having her around because she likes to pick on some of the older guys too. They play with her and they pick on her too, and she enjoys it. But I want her to be around older people so she understands that sometimes you got to read them right. You know, I want her to, because that's how I kind of I was raised around a lot of older people,
right.
And I understood at a very young age that, okay, sometimes you play, sometimes you sit there and be quiet.
Yep.
And I learned that at a very young age when you do that. And sometimes I got smacked in the back of the head by men I didn't know. Like, don't do that. Okay, thanks.
So, Drew, going back to what else you were talking about, I'm sure there's more to that story. And if not, we'll just move on to the next thing. But overall, being a part of this fraternity for the last 6-7 years now, whatever it is, this has really helped you deal with some of that anxiety and some of that PTSD. This has been a healthy outlet for you.
Yes, it's absolutely healthy. And I guess, you know, one of our tenets, you know, always work on yourself.
Right.
And, you know, using that, what I've learned in Freemasonry and, you know, all aspects of life, you know, manage my time, manage myself. Right. And it I've said, it's helped me out tremendously. I think I got an award last year for how I manage my, you know, my time, my home, my work, my, you know, obligation to Freemasonry, to Scottish Rite. David Bricky actually gave me the award, but
he's a great guy, by the way. I can't say enough about him.
Yeah, he's one of those guys that's just like, how do you divide your time?
we met him. I don't remember who sent who the friend request on Facebook first. It was either I sent him one or he sent me one. But then it was kind of David had kind of started checking out the show, and, you know, we've been Facebook friends kind of for a little while. And then it was at Grand Lodge this year or Founders Day this year, one of the two, where he finally introduced himself in person, and we started talking. And then we were talking a little bit more. And then when we closed out the season back in July for this final season, he was the last episode, and we talked a lot about Scottish Rite and about everything. And then There he is as he's coming in to kind of
take pictures.
He's taking pictures for us. He's just a great guy. I can't say nothing bad about him. But that's awesome that you got the award for that. To because it's a lot to manage. I mean, with with us, like the and I always use this example. Todd works full time in a factory. I'm not in the factory anymore. I work for Todd's uncle. I'm in TV and radio. So I always have school board meetings or town hall meetings or county council meetings to go to and cover the news on. I work a second job. I have my kids every other weekend and every Friday night when I don't have them for the weekend. I'm involved in this and like this podcast. There's so many Freemasonry podcasts out there that they get together and they release an episode every week. Technically,
we do
release an episode every week, but because of our schedules, we can't afford to get together every week. So we have to block out a Sunday afternoon starting at noon or starting at 2 o'clock and record 5 or 6 episodes until we get time to get together again, because it's just, we can't juggle everything.
No,
and now I've got all three kids are at all three schools in the district. One's at the high school, one's at the middle school, one's at the elementary school. You know, your youngest and my youngest are both in the same class, same grade.
No.
They're same grade.
No. Dave's still kindergarten.
Well, they're always together, well, I should say. But anyways, it's just, I can't juggle. I can't do it. So to hear you do it, kudos, hats off to you, because I can't manage things like that. I'll freely admit it, I can't. Sometimes it does all I can to get out of bed and get my shoes on in the morning and go to work, and I'm like, yeah.
That's at least my worry.
Yeah.
I just step into my shoes.
Part of the reason is I see my paycheck that your uncle pays me, and I'm like, I really don't want to get out of bed and go to work for this amount of money. That's unrelated. He'll never hear this. I hope not.
That's one of the biggest. That's one of the biggest parts. He's like, get up and get out of bed, get your socks on, and
keep moving forward.
Yep. As long as you're making forward progress.
What's Dory say? Just keep swimming. Keep swimming.
Yep.
And you know, if you've already made it this far, might as well get your shoes on. Made, you know,
baby steps essentially.
Yeah, so, basically just step by step. Get up every morning and.
Yeah, exactly.
And you can complain the entire time you're getting dressed. That's what my dad always told me. So yep. The whole time you're getting dressed, you can complain. You can complain all day. As long as you do it, that's all that really matters.
So I wanted to ask you, and I don't remember if we asked Juan this, but, you know, Juan is active duty mm-hmm. and a Mason. You didn't become a Mason until after you got discharged. But what kind of things... Or is there a direct correlation between what you're taught in how to be in life with as a military guy versus, you know, what you're taught on how to conduct yourself as a Mason? It just seems like those are both some of the same school of thought about how to conduct yourself in the correct manner.
Yeah, because you're you know, when you're in the Army, you're always in the Army. You're always at work. You're always on duty. That you have to, you know, carry yourself
right.
professionally to as not to bring a bad name upon the Army that, you know. And, you know, you got to carry yourself as a just and upright Mason. And we don't want to bring, you know, discredit to our lodge, our fraternity. And so those things correlate very well.
That's okay. I was just waiting to see if you're fit. It's all good, brother. It's all good. So I want to talk to you a little bit now about ritual. That's one of the questions we like to talk about. So being in this 6 years... or so, every Mason generally has a favorite part of ritual that they like to see, or it means a lot to them. Every Mason generally has a favorite part of ritual that they like to do. So I wanted to talk to you a little bit about ritual. What's some of the favorite parts of ritual that you like to perform or study? What's some parts that you're not really involved with, but you like watching? Because every Mason's got favorite parts. I mean, so what about you?
My favorite would have to be, it's a toss-up between the staircase lecture, extended version, or the second half of Master Mason degree.
Todd and I have the same agreement on this, and I am not, we are not throwing bows at anybody. We are not throwing elbows at anybody. I learned the first 2 pages of the stair lecture, and then I gave up. It was too much. But I'm old school, and I'm not knocking anybody that does the short form, at least, hey, they're doing it. I'm not, so I'm not knocking it. It's just, I'm old school. If I'm going to see the stair lecture, I want to see the stair lecture.
Yeah, definitely. But that's just me. I definitely want long form done.
Yeah.
Because you just don't get enough out of the short form. There's not enough information in there.
No, it seems like every time I hear the you know, the long version, I pick up something else.
Yeah. That was what I just said earlier today. Like, even 16 years of being a Mason now, I either learn something new every time I see it, or I change something that's like, I never thought about this before, and for the first time today, I thought about it this way. It's the one that continuously keeps teaching, basically.
Now, here's a question I want to ask you for a Scottish Rite. What's your favorite Scottish Rite degree?
Favorite Scottish Rite degree?
Again, I don't know this because I'm a York Rite guy, not Scottish, so I'm just going to go right over my head, but continue.
Yeah. I'm kind of partial to the seventh degree, the judge and provost.
Yes.
That's because I've acted and directed that degree numerous times.
Okay. Paint me a picture without giving much away, because I'm not a Scottish Rite guy. Paint me a very vague, bland picture. Once. Okay.
Forgiveness.
I don't think I've even seen that one. Yeah.
Something with forgiveness. We'll roll with that.
I don't think I got it when I went through Scottish Rite. I think I got it later on when I was assistant master ceremonies committee. I think I watched part of it.
Word on the street is David Bricky's going to pin me up against the wall later tonight and tell me, sign this Scottish Rite petition. It's like, bro, I just finished my York Rite in July. Give me a second.
But I think for me, it'd be the Rose Croix and Scottish Rite. That's the one that always gets me out there. And then, I always take my breath away every time I see it.
Yeah, I've acted in the... In the 32nd degree.
That was cool, too.
I've had a small, I guess it's not really a small role, but I did Florio for, alternated with David. Then I'm doing Master of Ceremonies and Knight Prince of Jerusalem since I'm in the council line.
He's going to beat me up after we go off air here. But, like, I always call you the Grotto Guru. Ever since we met David, when we met him, at Founders Day or Grand Lodge, whatever it was, and he'd been following the show for a little bit there. Like I said, we were friends on social media. I reference him as the Scottish Rite Guru. He's probably gonna, you know, give me a good thumping after he hears that. But like, it's true. Like, dude knows so much about. I literally, he starts talking, and it's stuff I don't know because I've not joined that. But my eyes glaze over. Like, this guy knows his stuff.
Yeah.
Like.
The Scottish Rite is, it's an amazing course of
it's teaching. Philosophy. I'm a history nerd. I don't know nothing about philosophy.
There's still some history in it, too. But it's if you actually pay attention, I fell asleep to like 2 or 3 of my degrees. I won't lie about it.
You can't put that out on tape, that, bro.
The
what are you doing?
Cathedral was really cold. I was really tired, and I fell asleep. I won't lie about it.
But the Scottish Rite did not hear that. Actually, I don't care. We get more downloads than they got.
I don't care. But
our podcast does better than their podcast.
After watching... Some after everything was done, everything, it's like, okay, now I get it. Then after I went to York Rite, it made more sense than Scottish Rite for me, too.
Yeah, so, I mean, I got my hand in the Blue Lodge, and I'm very active in the Blue Lodge, and I'm active in the Scottish Rite, but that's all I can handle right now.
Right, yeah, I believe that.
You know, everybody's like, oh, well, you can come on down to the Shrine, or you can go over to York Rite, and you can do this, and...
Well, see, I did. I was master 4 years, and the last 3 years of me being master, I was in the Grotto line too, out of Kokomo. So, in the year I was not my year being monarch was the only year I had not been master for a long time. So, I went from being master to monarch. So, I had 5 years of being in charge of organization.
But then, like, my Scottish Rite journey started, and we do a Saturday morning, it was just like, oh, we have extra time. Can we show this degree? It's not very long.
No.
Hey, we got some extra time. Can we show this degree before we – I know it's not on the books, but can we do that? And it just ended up – I think 8 different degrees that day.
Oh, wow.
And we didn't get out of there until 3 or 4 in the afternoon. It's like, I'm drained.
That's a long day.
And now they're showing them on video and everything, which kind of helps out a little bit. I want to see the plays, but video, okay, I get it. We don't have many guys in the cast anymore, but, you know, but I still think the videos are right.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, the Thursday night, the right, that's pretty cool, too.
Yeah, I haven't checked that out yet. So.
They do that in the winter.
David said something about that on his episode. I'm trying to think. I remember that phrase, Thursday night at the Rite. He said something about that.
You get on there and you watch a degree or something
like that. Yeah, something like that, yeah.
Usually my Thursday nights take it up with wrestling with my kids and, you know, try to figure out how to pay bills.
Yeah.
But
your Thursday night's going to be real booked when we start that Grotto up in DuBois County.
It ain't going to be on Thursday, I'll tell you that much. What else you got, bub?
Oh, I got plenty of time, man. I do this. I get on air and talk for a living all the time. I got plenty of time.
Talk all day, babe.
So I want to talk to you a little bit about mentors. That's one thing we always do, because one thing we're not, for the most part, Masons aren't clout chasers, although you do have some
there
people
some
and some out there that want to go, me, I'm the greatest thing ever. But, you know, generally Masons tend to not want the spotlight shined on them. This is a chance to actually let that happen once. And we usually cover everybody's bases by saying, if he forgot to mention anyone, don't take it personally. He didn't purposely plan to do that. There's just been so many people, it's hard to single out one. But who have been some of the mentors that you think about, like, this brother really helped me get through this? This brother really gave me a lot of his time. So who are some of those brothers that you can look back and be like, that guy was a mentor, that guy was a brother when I needed a brother?
Lessing Lodge is really good about it. I mean, I can't speak enough about like Troy Wilson.
Love Troy.
Speaking of knowledgeable guys, he's...
Oh, yeah.
I mean, and then, you know, worshipful brother Mark Holtz, he's always there and answer anything you got. And if he don't know, he'll find it. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, clearly David Bricky, which...
Oh, that guy.
That guy.
But that guy's more and more liked every time we talk about him.
His head's getting huge.
But it's, I guess I've been lucky. Everybody's just kind of, you know, stuck out their hand when I've reached for it. So, worshipful brother Eugene Barker has been a big mentor even since I just came in. And, you know, so I've been really lucky, I do believe.
Mark follows the show. Mark, I thought, was going to be here today, and David said Mark, unfortunately, is not going to make it.
What the heck?
Mark's been a huge supporter of us since we launched the show. We'll get a chance to sit down with him eventually. Mark's a wonderful dude. Can't say I don't know anybody can say anything bad about Mark. He's just one of those type of Masons that nobody can find fault with him, at least not that I know of. So
yeah, we're really like we're really lucky to have him as, you know, past master of Lessing Lodge.
I love that though. I love that story though. The fact that, you know, 4, 5, 6, whatever Masonic lodges in Evansville, they're all out of that one building, mm-hmm. except Evansville Lodge itself has their own building. And it's like, you've got, you know, 4 lodges, whatever, 3 lodges, whatever, running at 5, running out of, you know, mm-hmm. one building. And how they all find time. Now, here's the question. Does each of those lodges have their own room, or do they use the same room? That's the real question I have.
There's 2 lodge rooms. We have what we call Big Blue. And then we have Little Blue, which I think Daylight Constellation meet in there. But I know Reed Lodge and Lessing Lodge and was it Prince Hall number 5 meet in the big one. Mm. There's a York Rite room upstairs. We've got 4 active floors, I think 5 total. So it's just...
Yeah, the Grand Lodge building is about the same way.
Well, yeah, because we've seen that. The Grand Lodge has 2 or 3 lodge rooms. Yeah,
4 lodge rooms in it.
5, right? Because the last one we found when we went up there 2 years ago was being remodeled. They had broken chairs and stuff thrown everywhere. They were clearly remodeled.
That's the auditorium.
Okay, that's what it was, yeah.
Yeah, the auditorium is being remodeled and slowly being remodeled. But they have 4 Blue Lodge rooms. A commandery asylum on the top floor, and then one chapter, one council room, I believe.
I can't think about the Grand Lodge building without you thinking about you going in paranoid because you had a beer
start
before.
With that. My rule is I don't do anything lodge related after I've been drinking. If I have one beer, one shot, anything, I don't touch my rituals. I don't study.
Right. Good rule of thumb to have.
I just don't do it. I don't go lodge after if I even have been drinking.
So genius over here. I love telling this story.
So we go to lunch at Mexican restaurant after Founders Day.
And he decides he wants to stick around because we want to see Tyler Whitaker do his presentation at the Grand Lodge.
At the Lodge Research.
So we're all thinking this is just going to be an open thing. It's not going to be Tyler Lodge. So I'm like, what are you doing? Because he ordered a beer when we went to get tacos. And I'm like, what are you doing? He goes, I'm just going to have a beer. I want one. Okay. I got me a soda. He goes, it's not like we're going to be in lodge or anything. So we get over to the Grand Lodge building. I love telling the story. Just because I wish people could see the look on his face.
We're walking around the museum. Having a good old time.
And then, you know, I'm kind of gallivanting around. And then finally they go, let's get ready. And then all of a sudden I hear Todd go, oh, no. And I come look around the corner and I just wish people could see his face. Like if there was ever a video of like, the puppy had got hit by a truck or the balloon got popped, it would be that, because he's like, it's a tiled lodge. And I lost it. I started cackling and it echoes in that lodge room and everybody's looking at me like, what? And I'm just cackling. He's just got this look of sheer horror on his face.
But think of it, no one ever told me that rule. That's something I made up for myself. Just right. A long time ago. It like, kind of kept me from drinking a lot. Because I studied my ritual so much in the evening, I just wouldn't drink when
I
studied
my ritual. I wish people could see my face. This is what it looked like. It was sort of like, it's a tiled lodge.
Just terrified.
I thought it'd just give me a presentation of whatever Tyler Whitaker did, but no, we're in the research lodge, the actual
Wynell Lodge research.
It's like, oh shit.
So it was a good time.
Yeah, it was the only time I ever broke the rule.
I can't let him say nothing without bringing that up every time. It's just, it's funny, but
that's a good rule to have. I mean, it's when I was living by myself, it kept me from. You know, when I had to study ritual for degree work, stuff like that, it kept me my mind straight.
I think so. I went to lodge after drinking one time, and it was probably the same way. It just scared me. Yeah. I'm like, this is not where this I want to be.
Yeah,
yeah, I don't appreciate it. I know guys who do it, and I know I've seen guys come to lodge drunk before. You're not falling down drunk, but you can tell.
You can tell
they were.
I mean, I'm not going to tell anybody how to do anything.
I didn't appreciate it, but I'm like, okay. But.
At some point, you're also a grown individual that can make your own decisions. Right. I shouldn't have to tell you that that's a bad idea. I'm not going to chastise anybody, but it's like, maybe you could wait till after lodge?
Even when I first started going to the grotto, I usually never drink before a grotto meeting.
The grotto's irrelevant because y'all are a bunch of party boys. That is the party boy version of the Masons, the grotto.
Well, yeah, we could do that.
Yes. So, Drew, are you a part of anything else besides Scottish Rite? Are you a Shriner, grotto, anything else?
No, I'm just Blue Lodge and Scottish Rite.
Good.
And Blue Lodge is where your passion is, right?
Yeah.
Because that's kind of where we're at. It's just, you know, I'm excited about... You know, this York Rite thing, and I need to get more involved in it, but I done told them if there's a point that comes up where it's something and it's York Rite or it's Blue Lodge, York Rite's going to lose that battle with me because my focus is Blue Lodge, and I there's some brothers out there, and I'm not chastising anybody, that put the appendant bodies first, and if that's what's important to you, that's completely fine. By all means, do what you want, but my whole theory is Blue Lodge is your foundation. Without Blue Lodge, none of this matters. So if you're not giving the time to the Blue Lodge, and I'm not saying you're wrong, but maybe you need to reevaluate that to where you split your time a little more between both. But that's me. You're going to go where you get the most out of. And for some guys, they're getting more out of their appendant bodies than they are Blue Lodge. And I get it. I mean, it's not like we're attending lodge like they were 100 years ago. True. Where there's 40 members filling for a stated meeting. I mean, four times this year we had trouble getting a quorum. Three of those times were 3 months in a row. Mm-hmm. People were sick. It was the start of summer vacation, the end of spring. Everybody was busy. And it's like, hey, guys, you know, after 4 months in a row, Grand Lodge starts looking. They don't want to pull anybody's charter, but they're going to start taking a look at what's going on here, how they can help to avoid you closing. I mean, but that's just me. That's just one person's opinion.
True.
Okay. Thanks for letting me go on that tangent.
But you're absolutely right. Blue Lodge is the foundation. Blue Lodge is the head. If you know, if we don't keep our Blue Lodge alive, then you know everybody else will, you know, go the way of the buffalo.
Everything else is irrelevant after you're on Blue Lodge.
Right. So I mean, you have to. You know.
Here's your chance for the soapbox. You're always the one in touch with technology and the modern times and what's changing in the world, and you always have an opinion on. So what is going on? Why are nowadays the lodges not as active? Is it because the older guys are just disappearing and it's not important to the younger guys? What is your opinion on this?
There's a couple things that I've noticed throughout the years is there's no lodge activity outside the lodge.
No commodity.
Camaraderie, not commodity.
No, the hot commodity is the stock market. I said commodity. Anyway.
But also,
I know a Missouri guy's not lecturing me on English.
Don't get me started, boy. the non-Masonic thing we do is have a stated meeting. Stated meetings are the most boring, unneeded things Masons do.
We need the minutes.
All you gotta do is pay. But I'm not talking about paying the bills, arguing about who's paying the bills.
We don't even pay bills at our meetings anymore. That's I know, by
and they're still
committee.
Boring because no one wants to sit and listen to lodge education either. If you start talking lodge education, everybody's like, about time to wrap this up, man. You know, if I wanted to bring up, hey, what does the Golden Fleece, does anybody know what the Golden Fleece stands for? Why is that symbol important to Freemasonry? Where did it come from?
Tom has had people tell him that before. Come on, about time to wrap this up.
You know, I mean, or talk about, hey, why is the Tyler Sword important to the heart? What does that mean? Can we go deeper into that? Where did that come from? You guys don't do it anymore. They don't have that discussion about Masonic education, Masonic symbols. A lot of guys, they don't want to come to a meeting and just go to the meeting and leave. They want to sit there and have a debate, have a discussion. They want to do it. But also, outside the lodge room, they want to, you know, get together and have a barbecue, go to a trip somewhere, go to a casino together, something like that. It's like most lodges aren't each other's best friends anymore. Yeah. You know, you got your friends outside of there. They're more fun because they can have fun drinking beer at the campgrounds or at the bar and everything. Where at lodges, you know, we can't do that. But you can't at the Shrine, the Grotto, or even Sky Shrine now. But it irritates me that, and we've gotten better at this, our lodge last year is we're not involved in enough stuff in the community. We had, this year we did a booth at the Hymet Fest there in Ferdinand. I think we should be involved in every festival in the county.
Well,
some way, somehow.
I mean, we can't be, I mean, Line Lodge, you know, takes care of, okay.
But we should have been at the Folk Fest. We should be at the Chris Kittle Mark coming up this Here,
that's next weekend.
Yeah, we just
which is past after they hear this, but that's next weekend.
It's too late for that crap. But there's not enough of that going out there and being in the community to get that advertisement to have guys want to come join.
Right. Yeah, we faded off into the shadows.
Right. And what it was is everybody got complacent because we have all this membership. We don't need to go out there and advertise. It's secret. Your grandfathers don't talk to their grandsons or their sons about it. Well, then two generations later, we're where we are now. Where, okay, you know, guys remember, yeah, I remember going to the lodge. I remember what we did there. You know, we'd go hang out with my grandpa and go to the pancake breakfast, but he never talked about it other than that.
Right.
We should have been talking about it all this time to all the younger kids.
Then you're bringing up the point that we've talked about before. Are you trying to say that we just need to go out and sell Freemasonry?
No, we need to go out and show how much fun it is, so.
Okay, that's a valid point.
I mean, we need to show people that, hey, you know, we're still out here helping. We're still out here having fun. Look at this group of guys having a great time out here.
We do have a good time.
You know, the best advertisement we have right now is a Masonic service. That's the reason I joined Freemasonry. Saw my grandpa's Masonic service. When 100 guys stood up for his Masonic service, I'm like, that's something I want to be a part of.
That's what got me back in the lodge after and 8 years away.
Chris Hodap, same reason why he joined. From Masonic service. That's pretty sad when someone's got to die for us to put advertisements out there.
Right. Boy, when you put it like
that. We did a parade yesterday here in town, in Evansville, rather. But it was a pretty good turnout. I mean, there was probably about 8 of us just walked.
And that's great. Now, I think at Grand Lodge should have a parade. It should be a 3-day, it should be a week-long event at Grand Lodge, in my opinion. We should have you have every unit from every shrine. Right, Scottish Rite, everybody marching down Meridian Street to show everybody, hey, we're here, come join us. You know, I think it should be in the evening, there should be, you know, after hour parties at Scottish Rite to have people show up and hang out. It shouldn't be one day, let's get our business done and get out of here.
Well, it used to not be that way.
I know, but then we got tight wads in there. But
I think a lot of the membership issues, everybody's time is a premium now.
Well, no. There's so much more now than what there was back in the 40s, right. 50s.
And like I have three daughters, and it's
right.
I have,
and they'll probably be all in sports or some kind of activities.
We have a girl in each day of the week. Something has been going on. Mm-hmm. You know, one's soccer, softball. One's competitive cheer.
Right.
She plays soccer. And it's just like trying to find. I've carved Wednesdays as my lodge day. That's my day. That's it. So
I'm fortunate where, you know, my daughter plays softball and volleyball, and my son's only 7, but my son's also got dwarfism, so sports for him is probably not going to happen.
I know, man. I love seeing him run across the playground at school. Them little arms.
Get everything going.
Todd's son really is a dwarf, and there's nothing wrong with that. But I told Todd, I said, you can be mad at me all you want as a co-host. I said, but I laugh when I watch him run. Todd goes, it's okay, I laugh too. Because it is cute because, like, you know, he'll just them little arms and legs just to get him moving, and he's just like he's trying so fast to get somewhere, but it's like Turbo.
Oh yeah.
When Turbo first, before he gets, you know, swallowed into the nitrous, when he starts burning, you think he's really moving, and he's not. Yeah. It's what it reminds me of.
And but I'm fortunate that way. But also, you know, I take my kids' lodge with me sometimes, and for at least for events. But I think we still need to be out there in the community. I mean, I'm sure they got a 4-H fair in this county.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, why are we not out there, you know, giving out information?
Right. Why don't we have our?
Why are we not every festival?
I mean, the Vandenberg County Fair.
Evansville had this Shrine Fest down there on the river during 4th of July every year, and nobody was giving out lodge information. Lodges had food booths there, but no one was here talking about, hey, here's how you join Freemasonry.
Right.
I mean, we're walking down the street, and I'm like, there's no one here talking about Freemasonry. It's all about Shrine. These lodges, I think Lesson Lodge had a booth there, if I remember, and had a food booth there back in the day.
I think we did a Masonic education booth, and I think we did do it with the Scottish Rite.
Yeah.
And just, you know, sat four guys there at a table, and nobody wants to approach us because we're a secret society.
Right. Which one thing my lodge did, we're at the 4-H fair and at the pork festival in Tipton. We gave away free water, bottles of water. You wouldn't imagine how people stop and talk to you when they get a free bottle of water.
It's just a free bottle of water.
Yeah, we got three petitions out that one year. In 3 days, we got three petitions out of it. But it's stuff like that every lodge could do. It's just a matter of getting off your butt and going to do it.
Right. We've had a lot of luck with the online inquiries.
Yeah, we've had two good members out of that. At least at our home lodge, we did.
But yeah, I mean, social media, but you just, I think we get it kind of locked in that, oh, I don't want to just burden people with, you know, Freemasons all the time.
Oh, my whole social media is covered Freemasonry.
Yeah.
They know that from Freemasonry. I mean, but it's, I don't know, it could all be done so easily. It's going to take people and guys getting off their couch to go do it.
Yeah. We kind of talked about that. I can't remember where we were, but we talked about participation and, like, why aren't we going, you know, to the 4-H fair and, like, working the gate for them? Just, yeah. You know, like, one night of the week, like, oh, hey, we're from Lessing Lodge, and we're out
here. David's, wear a Masonic shirt. And yeah.
David's got something about that. David, are you in here? David, come over here a minute.
David, where are you? David, boy, come here, David.
Sit down for a minute. Put your headphones on. Shout out to this whole Newberg Files.
Dave Bricky.
Is David Bricky's baby, which we're just glad here. David, I want to talk about that. Refresh everybody's memory, because normally I say, hey, in a prior episode, well, now I've got the source. This kind of goes hand in hand with your jar concept. Can you remind everybody kind of what the jar concept is with Lodge?
Sure. The jar program is something I heard on a podcast on the Winding Staircase. And the JAR represents, it's an acronym for awareness, joining, activation, and restoration. And it's a lot of different aspects that we've been putting into place. And it's not something that can be done overnight, but we've been implementing it year after year, trying to help our lodge grow. And the first step being awareness is getting out in the community, making sure that we're present, that they know that we still exist. We've been doing different things. excuse me. I know Lessing Lodge has been very active as far as like coat drives and being present at the Fall Festival, helping out in different booths, the Shrine Fest, a lot of different activities. I mean, even the Veterans Program Veterans Parade that you guys did yesterday was another activity to get yourselves out in the public. And so different lodges are stepping up to make sure that their presence is known, to put us out there in the public eye, to at least get people talking, get people interested. We can still be traditional, have people ask one to be one, but at least get people asking questions, talking to us about it.
So that's the other thing I was going to ask is that, you know, take county fairs out of the equation. There's no festival event in southern Indiana bigger than the West Side Nut Club's Fall Festival.
True.
So I was going to ask, was there a Masonic presence out there at that festival?
Oh, yeah. The Shrine has, like, all their different appendant bodies. Each of them have a booth. We co-hosted a booth with the Motor Corps. But as far as Masonic information being...
It wasn't. It was more just a food booth.
Right. That was more of just fundraising for the lodge.
Maybe that was a missed opportunity. See, I'm not saying
what if you guys did, like, to get out the water and bags of popcorn? I mean, popcorn's cheap to make. It's cheap to buy. I mean, water, you get donated. I mean, go out there and just give. If you give away bottles of water, people will come by your booth.
I want to point out, and this is just my opinion, I'm not saying the overall health of the fraternity is good or bad, whatever, but in a bigger market like the Evansville area, which is like the third, fourth biggest city in the state, whatever,
right.
Second, whatever, I don't believe their numbers are as bad as what some of our country lodges are.
Oh, no.
Away from there. I don't think they're really hurting for membership as compared to what we are, but I see your point. Is if you put your finger on the pulse as a whole, maybe there has been some...
Yeah, but yeah, I think how many people come from DuBois County to Evansville to the Westside Nightclub?
A lot. I mean, there's exactly. People. There's people all over the Quad County area, in particular, of DuBois, Crawford, Perry, and Spencer, that commute an hour to Evansville to work. Mm-hmm. That a lot of people that aren't from this area say, well, you can't drive an hour to work. Okay, maybe that's weird to you, but where we're at in this pocket of Indiana, at least half the population commutes an hour away to Evansville every day for work. That is a real thing.
Yeah, it is.
So a lot of people are coming down here not just to work. Well, they're like, well, I work in this town. Why don't I go to the Westside Nut Club Fall Festival? That's a big thing. Yeah. So
I thought about it after it was over. To be honest with you, I really did.
But that's why I brought you in. Sit down, David, because, you know, you're being an awesome host and you're kind of the executive producer. I'm going to give you the executive producer. This whole day was put together by him. I didn't have to do nothing. And he brought pizza. Costco but pizza.
That's what I'm saying. Masonry, we don't have a membership problem. We have a visual problem. No one sees the building when you're driving by anymore. No one goes by there and goes, oh, there's a Masonic Lodge. No, I bet if you went and asked 10 of your friends where the local Masonic Lodge is, none would tell you where it's at.
But that's why what he has helped institute here at Newburgh Lodge, and it's carried over one county over out of Warwick into Vandenberg, and what they're doing down in the Evansville area, that jar concept is... We need to look into that in DuBois County, because that is a fascinating little...
It's a great thing. I mean, but it just says what I've been saying for a long time. You know, you had to get somebody out there. You need to be aware that there is a lodge. They got joined, and what was the rest of the acronym?
I forget. Activation Restoration.
Activation. Yeah, getting the old guys back. I mean, because let's face it, some of the old guys stopped coming because they got boring. I mean, a lodge meeting is not the most exciting thing in the world. But if you have a speaker come and talk about something, like we had Randy Seifel come to give the 133rd
songs.
He said, well, we had like five or six extra guys there because they wanted to see that. Well, what if you had a speaker at every stated meeting?
What if you have minutes of Masonic education at every stated meeting?
Well, the matcher has to say, hey,
which this guy education. Sitting right here says that he's really started presenting Masonic education at their stated meetings.
Yeah, if you guys get a chance to listen to his Three Ruffians education, it's pretty amazing.
Is this something we can talk about on air? I know our Ruffians episode kind of stirred it. Is this something that's got to be an off-air conversation?
Drew, these are the guys that inspired
me.
Let's not push that issue anymore. I like my dude.
Again, I want to point out, Todd was so paranoid about after that episode got released, and it's now in our top three most downloads of all time. And the funny part is, people in the Grand Line or the Grand Lodge building go, man, I love that episode.
And I'm like, really? Why?
But it's a different way of looking at the Ruffians like you've never thought. By the way, you can find it in our archives if you haven't heard it, wherever you get your podcast.
But like I said, you know, lodge meetings are boring. They really usually, if they last more than 45 minutes, you're surprised.
Yeah.
The longest lodge meeting I ever had was 3.5 hours.
Was this the deuce thing?
Yeah, we argued about deuce for 2.5 hours of it, but
we
over raising deuce $20.
It was 40.
Oh, okay. Well, I might stay for that long. So, what else you got? You got anything? Or we're gonna start to
we wrap a bow in this. Everybody, okay, he's pointing to somebody.
Well, I thought you were gonna say something, Drew.
No. Drew,
I lost it.
That happens.
So, Drew, again, first of all, thanks for your time today. Hazel, come stand in front of Dad's mic. Hey, thank you for letting us talk to Dad today.
You're welcome.
Yeah, she's just been the cutest little co-host, and that's a first-time thing right there. We having a kid on the podcast. That's everybody's heartstrings are all happy and filled now.
They always say never kids are animals.
Yeah, that's right. So, So, Drew, we want to thank you so much for your service to this country. We can't say it enough. We support veterans on this show and in all walks of life. I guess we don't have anything. I'm going to ask the question.
I'm good to ask it,
buddy. So, Drew, we end every interview with the same question, and it's a different answer every time, but it's all the same. That is a great photo opportunity right there. Look, David's all over it. You know, eventually you're going to lay down your work and tools. Unfortunately, nobody gets out alive. We all go to the lodge above, or we hope to go to the lodge
above.
Stole
my line.
I'm sorry. So, and you can answer this as a man. We generally more reference it to Freemasonry, but however you want to answer it, it doesn't matter. When people think back on you as a man and as a Mason and whatnot, what do you hope that you contributed to the fraternity? What do you hope that you've left behind, your legacy, your lasting impression will be?
Hopefully it's just camaraderie, and not just camaraderie, but hopefully if God wills it, and I do become, you know, worshipful master of the lodge in a few years, I hope that I have a fruitful year, and I hope that I do bring more positive attention to the fraternity. And I'm trying to do that now with everything, but I just really hope that I sow the seed of, you know, the fraternity.
So, well, that's a great answer. There's no right or wrong answer. So, Drew, if you wouldn't mind to introduce yourself one more time here as we start to wrap this up.
Drew Seitz. I'm the junior warden of Lessing Lodge number 464 out of Evansville, Indiana.
All right. And that's going to wrap it up. So for Drew, for Brother Bricky, who's just been our ace in the hole today, so for Brother Todd,
yeah, for Brother Jared,
this has been another episode of that other Masonic podcast. Now you're ripping my...
Yeah, this is my life, still here's back.
This is the Newberg Files, what we're calling today. This has been an awesome recording day. We still got one left to go, possibly two yet. We're going to kind of see what's going on here. So we will see you guys next time.
Yep, peace.
Thanks for listening to that other Masonic podcast, Indiana's first Freemasonry podcast. Be sure to check us out on our social media channels, Facebook, TikTok, and Instagram. The views and opinions expressed on this show belong to Brother Jared Atkins and Brother Todd Whaley and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the Grand Lodge of Indiana.